Well, good morning again, and this is National Back to Church Sunday. Several years back, the global churches, if you will, understood for a long time. Now, summer is a very busy season and takes us away from church with vacations and activities, and we kind of get out of the routine of going to church, and so they decided it was a good thing to have a National Back to Church. Maybe you haven't been to church for a while, maybe you've never really made it part of your life, and so it's just a good thing to kind of get people to think about that. And it's hard, like I said, once you get out of a routine. And I was thinking about that, and church should not really be a routine, is so to speak, like just something you do. It's part of a deep relationship you have with our God. And it's for me, I mean, it centers my life. Of course, last week I was injured, and there's no way I could have been here. It would have been impossible, literally, but I miss it. I miss the weeks that I'm not here. But church should be part of your life and a priority. And when you're not involved in God's church, because it's part of, a major part of, His building your faith and building the things in your life as you grow in Christ. And when you miss out on that, you're missing out on the blessings that God has for you in your life. So hopefully it becomes a place where it's not a priority, but a choice. And of course, every Sunday, many, many people do gather in churches and worship and learn of a God that they cannot see with their eye nor hear with their ear. And as believers in Christ, we cannot see with our eye nor hear with our ears our God that we worship, but we believe. Our belief in God is simply faith. We are people of faith. And when you think about that expression, what all that encompasses, and perhaps it should be no surprise that we find faith or faithfulness in the list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that really what it means is when you have Christ in your life and God working in your life, the fruit or the outcome, the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life are these things that begin to become part of who you are. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and all those things. And it's a beautiful, beautiful understanding what God's doing in your life. Some have taken the list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and separated it in three categories. They say inner fruit would be love, joy, and peace inwardly. Outward fruit would be patience, kindness, and goodness. And I could see that outwardly towards others. Upward fruit would be those Christ-like qualities which most particularly have to do with our relationship with God. Our faithfulness to God, our meekness before God, and our self-control by the power of the Spirit of God. King James translates this word as faith. Many other translations use the word faithfulness. This faithfulness in God. And the original language means faith, but particularly faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. And so when you think about this list of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and talk to faithfulness, and we are people of faith. What is the focus then of this word in our life? What is this focus of this word in our life in church or belonging to Christ and what He's doing with us? Some may say it's faith in how we exercise our faith. Others say it's our faith towards God. I believe it's actually both. Scripturally, when you see throughout the Word of God, that's applicable in both ways. It's our faith in God and maturing in God in that faith that brings about faithfulness in our lives, in our character, towards God and towards everybody. We have said that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a reflection of Christ in our lives, and because Scripture tells us that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, we can produce nothing without Him. In the same manner, it's His fruit that we produce because we're vines to His branch. And our faith is rooted in a God that is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Lamentation tells us Though the Lord's mercies, we are, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. We're not going to say amen, all right? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And of course, we see 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called in the fellowship of Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we become faithful individuals, when we grow in faith, both in our faith in God and our faithfulness and our character, we begin to reflect this faithfulness of our God. And it's God's faithfulness, when we understand that, that brings us so much confidence when we come before him in prayer, confidence that he is faithful and working on our behalf. Our faithfulness is rooted in our faith in Christ. And it's precisely our faith in Christ that brings us to salvation. Faith is the foundation of our salvation. We know scriptures, hopefully Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That your very salvation is because by faith, by believing in the work of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, that you're saved. It's a gift. And we're saved by grace, but only when we mix it in with faith in the risen Christ. So the foundation for our salvation is faith, and then we grow in faith. And Scripture reminds us of one of the ways, probably a primary way, that we grow in faith, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So part of, a major part of your walk with God and growing in faith and becoming a person full of faith and a faithful person is hearing the Word of God and applying the Word of God. We never want to lose sight of the significance of faith nor the power of faith that God puts in our lives. We cannot be saved without faith. Jesus said this, John 3:15, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's this believing in him and this power of life for eternity. Having faith in him and his redemption on the cross, that affects our salvation. Of course, we know the following verse. If I tell you, we see it all the time in John 3:16. We see it in football games at times, at the back, you know, by the goalposts. And what does it tell us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This faith in Christ that is the very foundation of everything you have in your life. And the power of faith is further reassured to us in Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of faith, therefore being justified. Justified means to have an innocent verdict rendered. To be set free, to be righteous before God, regardless of whatever's happened in your life, regardless of what you've ever done, that you have been justified before God, and it literally means as if you never sinned. Wow. To be able to stand before the Father because of the work of Jesus Christ, as if you led a life that never had one sin, because of the work of Christ, faith in him, and the power of faith to wash all those sins away, pay for them through Christ. And you stand there whole and well and justified. The following verse after that, 5:1, says it is our faith that allows us access to the grace in which we now stand. And so we begin our walk with Christ in faith, and we move forward with increased faith in Christ and him. Paul writes this in Romans 1:16 and following. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This whole life of faith to faith. Some translations look at it, or some of the wording looks at it, from the beginning of faith to the end of faith. Beginning of your walk with God till the end. That faith is carried through all of that, and God's faithfulness is a huge part of his faith and your faith with him. We're called to live a life of faith from the beginning to the end, from faith to faith, living in every aspect of our lives by faith in God. And as we do more and more, God is revealed to us. We grow in faith. All the while, the Holy Spirit maturing our faith and faithfulness. by his magnificent work in us. Our faith is very important to God. We're familiar with what we call, hopefully, the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It's all these people that have done wonderful things of God, and they talk about their great faith. They list these individuals, and so we say, this is the Hall of Fame of Faith. These people had great faith. And Hebrews 11, 6 remind us, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In every aspect of your life, you want to bless God, and you want to have God's blessings in your life. Without faith, that's not going to happen, and we are people of faith. But how do we grow in that? What does that mean to us? How do we understand that scripturally? This verse not only defines the value of our faith to God, but it's a wonderful verse of promise as well. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so if you think about taking your life and removing everything of God from it, except a little thought here now and then and maybe a little prayer now and then, but really just living your life, if you didn't have much faith and you weren't growing in faith and you weren't doing much, what would your life consist of? And where would be the value and the impact and the legacy and all that you're building? Versus a life that you say, I'm going to be involved in God, I'm going to grow in God, I'm going to take wherever I'm at, and I'm going to set a goal out here, and I'm going to reach for it. In every part of my life, whatever I touch, I'm going to have God involved in it. And I'm going to grow in faith and trust him in it. Boy, your life would change tremendously. And if that's where you're at, God bless you, because you have so much of a better life than you would if you didn't have God. The work of this fruit of the Holy Spirit, this faithfulness, a serious study of the fruit of the Holy Spirit revealed that the Holy Spirit in all those works are maturing your character and your faith. And so how does he accomplish this regarding our faith and our faithfulness? And we see one way in James. So we all say we want to grow in faith. We want to be more faithful people. We want to have more faith in God. We want to be more faithful to ourselves, to our other people. We want to be considered a faithful person, because I believe that's both in the work of the Holy Spirit. How's God accomplish that? And we see this way in James, and James 1, 2 and following. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Nobody told me this when I got saved. Nobody said, okay, you're going to have faith in God. Now it's going to be tested. Really? I didn't know there was a test to this. I thought salvation was free. It is, but you got to grow in it. And worse, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I have to tell you, the last 2 weeks at our house have been very painful, very difficult. And I didn't think one time I looked at Chris and said, I'm so happy this happened. Never. Become professional whiners. But you do grow. Because I had a choice the last 2 weeks to just get angry or upset, and you know, not that I'm not frustrated with dealing with these things, but or trusting God in them. Calling out to God in deep pain, calling him out to him in the middle of the night, praying and trusting him and asking for his mercy and all of that. Because in that, he produces patience, and patience then has a perfect work, completing you that you lack nothing. Apparently, God thinks I got a way to go yet, or this wouldn't have happened, right? That wasn't in my notes, it just popped out. Lord, I was kidding, Lord, that's a joke. We begin with faith, we grow in faith, often by trials and challenges that we all face of one kind or another. We don't enjoy the trials, yet when we see God carry us through them, we're strengthened in faith. And when you go through a challenging season in your life, a lot of times you look back to what God has done in the past. And you say, I'm so looking forward to when I'm on the other side of this. But God will see me through. And while God desires you grow in faith, the devil works at destroying your faith. Satan will lie to you, deceive you, and weaken your faith if he can do it. Jude wrote to the church concerning false teachers that were misleading the saints, and he warned them and said to them that we, meaning us, are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to all the saints. We are to contend earnestly. It means fight for it if you have to. But you go after it. You contend earnestly for the faith that was delivered to you, that should be part of your life. Whatever it takes, you got to stand your ground and say, I'm going to be a person of faith. I'm going to grow in faith. At times, it's a battle to keep your faith. I've watched some lose their faith over the years. Life comes along, disappointments come along, they become disillusioned about God. I know many that are no longer serving Him. I've watched others go through very difficult trials and come out more stronger and more faithful than ever before. And you need to know that's God's plan for you. That when the challenges hit, that you go through them with Him, and at the end result, you will be more complete, more mature, growing in your faith, and more faithful than ever. Because you really have a choice how you're going to respond to it. Because the reality is, all of us are going to face challenges and trials. We've talked about this. You've heard me say it for years. I'm an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not looking at all these problems coming down the road. The reality is, we're in a fallen world. Things happen. And our faith, then, is not based on circumstances. Our faith is based on God and His faithfulness and His promises. That we have an anchor to our faith, Christ and the Word of God. And when we allow circumstances and disappointment to move us, we then weaken in our faith. Circumstances are going to happen. Grow stronger, not weaker. We have a wonderful role model in Paul. His depth of relationship with the Lord kept him and grew him faithful. They've got this incredible snapshot of Paul's life, if you will, in 2 Corinthians. Let's look at it for a moment. 2 Corinthians 11:24 and following, he writes, from the Jews, 5 times I received 49 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleepness as often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides the other things which confound me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Wow. Wow. I'm wondering when I read this, where would I have given up? 5 times the Jews beat him with 49 stripes minus one. After the first time, the third time, the shipwreck, the rods. I mean, you know, where would you give up on that? Paul said no. And Paul, when you read and you understand the life of Paul and the theology of Paul, he was tremendously optimistic. He was the happiest guy around, if you would. He's cheering you on towards Christ. Yet he said, this is what life can be like at times. And I look at that list, and I wonder, what do you say to those preachers that their only message they have is the prosperity message? That everything's supposed to be wonderful, you're going to give to God, you're going to be blessed. And he said, wait a minute, what about all this stuff that comes? And Paul didn't base his faith on circumstances, what was happening around him. Paul didn't compare himself to others and wonder, where's God in all of this? Where's God in my life? He based his faith on Christ. And Paul didn't allow the devil to weaken or steal his faith. I'm certain he had battles, but rather he grew in faith as he grew in the Lord. And there in the end of his life, Paul was able to write 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good faith. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Will that be your testimony? Will it be mine? Prayerfully, yes. Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. You, like me, hope we have a lot of race left in our lives, right? I mean, we love Jesus. It'd be great to be with him, but we're hoping we got a lot of race left to go. But at the end of the whole thing, whatever comes down the road, we want to say, I stood fast. I kept the faith. There's a story about this man and woman driving one day, and she remarked, you know, things have changed. Say, we used to sit so close to each other all the time. We were right next to each other. We'd be driving down the road. You couldn't separate us all the time. Wherever we went, we were right next to each other. He says, now we sit on the far end of the seat, What happened to us? Her husband looked over and he said, I haven't moved. Typical husband remark. But you all heard the saying, if God seems distant, who moved? Who moved? God is faithful. He doesn't move. And we can choose to be, if you will, next to him in the ride or keeping our distance and then wondering what happened. Our faith, our growth in faith, will produce in us the Holy Spirit's character of faithfulness. And great faith will not amount to anything without faithfulness. You can have great faith. You can say, I believe in this. I believe in God. I believe in the Word of God. You can proclaim it from the mountaintops. But without faithfulness in your life, both to God and to others, it's not going to amount to anything. At the root of the original language for faith or faithfulness is the understanding of firmness, certainty, and reliability. Think about that. The root of being faith or faithful is under firmness, certainty, and reliability. A faithful person is one you can count on. They're not only trustworthy and loyal, they have your back, but they are dependable. Faithful person you can count on, they'll be there when you need them. They're willing to carry through with a commitment regardless of the difficulty. And the faithful person is faithful first to God and then to others around him as well. The faithful person honors God and submits to him and his will. And faithfulness doesn't give up when things get difficult. It doesn't change sides when that side's losing. Doesn't throw people under the bus when it's no longer convenient to be their friend. It's faithful. And when you think about this glimpse of understanding this morning, we're looking at the faithfulness both to God and to others and to being faithful people. We all want that. And biblical faithfulness is based on love, integrity, and truth. And the faithful person does not waver in love, integrity, or truth. No doubt if you've watched any kind of news recently, you know this whole college entrance scandal, admission scandal that's been hitting the airways, and actress Felicity Huffman was one of the people caught up in it, and this past Friday she received her sentence. And in her sentence Friday, she stood and told the court and the judge, she said, somewhere along the way, I lost my moral compass. I'm deeply ashamed of what I've done. I've done more damage than I could ever have imagined. I realize now with my mothering that love and truth go hand in hand. Love and truth do go hand in hand in every aspect of your life. Because God is love and God is truth. It's because God is love, God is integrity, and God is truth that we can be also. It doesn't happen overnight. But whatever you are in that walk, think of where God wants to take you. God establishes his covenant with us, and he is absolutely faithful to complete it and fulfill it. And God's faithfulness is defined by his commitment, which never fails. He's trustworthy, he's dependable, because he always follows through on his promises. And what God says he means, and means what he says. And God does not fail, falter, or forget. God remains faithful to us. And I've come to love 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And I've often said, God's faithfulness is not dependent on your faithfulness or my faithfulness. I mean, I want to have God's character of faith in my life. I want to be a faithful person, both to him and to others. But it's not dependent on us. It's dependent on him and his nature, his character. And that's what we're striving to touch, his nature and character. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny who he is. And so part of the fruit of the vine is faithfulness. And when we remain in that vine, we become faithful. And what a wonderful thing to be known for, a faithful man or a faithful woman. What better statement about your life can somebody say? And certainly our faithfulness exhibited in our relationship towards and with God. And when temptations come, the faithful person holds tight to God and resists them. You remain faithful. You remain committed to serving God, committed to His body and His church. You may get discouraged, you may be disappointed, but faithfulness says, even though there's discouragement and disappointment, I will not let go, I will not quit, I will keep on attending, I will keep on giving, I will keep on serving, I'll keep on following God because God has called me to be faithful. You should recall the biblical account where Jesus began to speak to his disciples about his soon coming persecution, rejection, and the crucifixion that was on the way. So Peter, in front of everybody else, begins to rebuke Jesus for this. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "What? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me." Because Peter didn't know it, but he was trying to get Jesus to quit, to be unfaithful. Jesus said, "This is what's coming down the road. This is what's going to happen to me." And Peter says, no, you don't have to do that. Never. He was trying to get Jesus to quit to being faithful. He didn't know that, but Jesus did. And Jesus understood the source of unfaithfulness is Satan, is demonic. The source of the opposite of faith would be infidelity, and it's the source is demonic. All throughout Christ's ministry, Satan tried to tempt Jesus to be unfaithful. Don't go to the cross. Don't die for their sins. Just quit. Follow me. It's going to be too tough. There's too many obstacles, too many difficulties. Turn around and quit. I got something better. But Jesus wouldn't hear of it. Luke 9:51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Time was coming for the crucifixion. He steadfastly said, "I'm heading to Jerusalem, even though I know what's there." He was determined that no matter what happened, he would be faithful to the mission God had for him to do. He was being faithful to us as well, to what was coming down the road, those that would one day bow their knee and confess Christ as their Lord. You and me and anybody in the room that has done that, Christ was being faithful to you. He was determined to complete the mission. So we're called to be faithful to God and faithful in relationships. Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." We live in an increasingly disposable society. We have disposable plates, napkins, knives, forks, disposable razors, disposable cameras, everything. Things you buy now are so cheap at times you just use them up and you throw them away. And sadly, for a lot of people, relationships are disposable as well. I struck at this, but some time back, Hallmark had a wedding card that said this, a wedding card. "I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today." Wow. That's about as deep as a commitment some people are willing to make. Let's give this a shot. Faithfulness is love hanging on. It's love saying, "I will not quit. I'm in this for the long haul." If a husband were to say, "I really love my wife," he goes out and has an affair, you may call him a liar, you may call him a cheat, but most of all, you'll say he was unfaithful. Because that's what he has been. And you know what? The world says it's no big deal. Everybody does it at some time, at least according to the TV and the movies. According to the TV and the movies, it's no big deal. People are unfaithful all the time. It just happens. It's no big deal until it happens to you, until your mate is unfaithful. Then it's a big deal. Then the lie of it's okay is revealed. Because God is calling all people to be faithful people, regardless of what happens. And God says that his relationship with you is not disposable. And your relationship with your mate and your children is not disposable. And your relationship with your deep friends is not disposable. The world is becoming less and less trustworthy, less and less reliable, less and less faithful. How important then is the fruit of faithfulness? Our relationship with God and our relationship with others is hinged on our faithfulness. And the opposite of faithful, I said a moment ago, is infidelity. And here's a key that I think helps us in all of this. Romans 12, verse 9 and following. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. That sounds like a prescription for faithfulness to me. A while back, Chris had put a little movie together from the song On Fire. We'll look at it in just a second here, but it's just this thing to be on fire for God, and you may be on fire for God right now. You may have been on fire for God at one time in your past, and you've kind of cooled off a little bit. Or you may never have been on fire for God. But I can never think of a better time or a better day to say, I want to remain on fire for God.
Early and find your place, 'cause you didn't want to miss a thing, and your heart was open, ready for change. Oh, those days, you were never afraid to sing, never afraid to lift your hands, didn't care what people think. You were to tell your friends about your faith, a time when you felt the pain of just one lost soul that was slipping away. Your heart was soft, you had radiant eyes, but slowly the pressures and burdens of life pulled you into the dark of the night. Oh,